Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. We're also covering the Anthony Weiner news on It's a Free Country, by the way, our politics website. Sources saying this morning that Anthony Weiner is confiding in friends that he will resign. So we have that at itsfreecountry.org. And now we continue with our series, The New Littles. Every Thursday this month, we're exploring some of the ethnic neighborhoods and communities you might not know that much about. Little Italy and Chinatown were named almost a century ago. Lots has changed since then, so we're trying to identify some of the more recent littles. Our guest throughout the month is Andrew Beveridge, professor of sociology at Queens College and the CUNY Graduate Center, and the man behind Social Explorer, the website that lets you explore all sorts of demographic data. Andrew, welcome back to the show. I hope you're learning as much as we are about the new littles.
Well, yeah. In fact, I was playing with the map that you put up this morning, and it's really very interesting.
I was just going to talk about it, and listeners, you're going to want to see this too. Many of you are. Using a data set that Andrew gave us, we're building a map showing census tracts where there is a 20% or higher concentration of a particular ethnic group. That's what we're using as the baseline to define a new little, 20% or higher concentration of a particular group. Up until recently, that was just an Excel file on our website, but now thanks to the help of WNYC News Director John Keefe, the new littles data is on a beautiful map. You have to check it out. It's an interactive map with a drop-down menu. You can pick your ethnic group, and the map zooms right in to show you the highlighted neighborhoods with high concentrations of that group. Click on the neighborhood to get the data. Click again to go to a comments page, and then you can continue to contribute by telling us something about that area if you're familiar with it. It's up now on our show page, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And okay, Andrew, let's dive in. One of the inspirations for this project, when we heard that in Little Italy, in Manhattan, there are no more first-generation Italians. So we wondered, where is Little Italy, if not in Little Italy? And where are Italian immigrants headed? Listener Monica Deuce may have an answer. She grew up in Italy, has been living here for about 10 years. Monica posted to our comments page with a nomination last week, and she joins us now. Monica, welcome to the show.
Hi, thank you.
So where do you think Little Italy is these days?
Well, I live in Astoria, and there are a lot of really nice Italian shops that are really authentic. So I think there's definitely the potential for Astoria, Demers, and 31st Street to be an Italian community, although it's in a Greek epicenter.
Describe it to us. You're walking down the street. What do you see? What makes it feel a little bit like Italy?
Well, the thing about Italy is that there are no really big shops. Usually there's like the meat shop and the fish shop and the fruit shop. There's like no giant Walmart. And so Astoria del Mar is really that way. You know, you can go buy bread, a Rose and Joe, and then you can go over to Rosario to buy prosciutto and pecorino. And then you can go get your cannoli at the pastry shop.
Yep.
So there are a lot of opportunities, but in terms of like, I don't think there are a lot of Italian people living there as much as maybe in Williamsburg, but I think there is the potential for that to become a new Italian community.
And so we know that there are Rose and Joe's Italian Bakery, second generation Italians there in the Astoria area, Rosario's, Casanelli Food Products, it's a pasta factory, Italian immigrants run that. And also with us now is Giuseppe Vitarali, owner of Ornella Trattoria in Astoria. It's right there. Giuseppe, hi.
Hi, good morning.
So do you agree that you're in kind of a new Little Italy?
I agree in some way. But I think there are other areas in New York where the first generation Italian, they are more... they concentrated there, like for instance, in Williamsburg, where I live.
Uh-huh.
I live in Williamsburg is pretty big, like Astoria. Basically, is bigger than Salerno. Is my hometown where I come from, and there is a section like we call it like an island, Italian island, from the BQE to Grand Street. Basically, the only Italian, the first generation. First generation, they all come from the same area. Like, you know, for instance, this morning when, because I have my restaurant in Astoria here, right in the corner of Torrefest Street, and to come here, when I went to my garage, I saw hello, buongiorno to a lot of the people, most of them are Italian, old Italians, first generation, they don't even speak English, and you have that feeling that you never leave your own country, and you are on 5 minutes from Manhattan.
that can happen when
yeah,
a lot
potential,
of...
See, like Monica said, that I see a lot of potential to the First Street. The reason is because it's very close to Manhattan. And now the Italians, they don't come here anymore because, you know, the quality of life in Europe and Italy is pretty good.
Yes.
They don't have a reason to come here. So people that come here, they are intellectual people or professional people. They work in university.
Right. It's
research.
Not like the Ellis Island days. Now, listeners,
you can see
the neighborhood we're discussing on our new map at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehr Show. But Andrew Beveridge, in looking at the data for Italians all around the region, there are obviously pockets in many different areas. Both of our guests, though we're talking about Astoria, reference Williamsburg. Do you have a sense of the different demographics between the different Italian communities, or some younger, some older, different parts of Italy, anything like that?
Well, yeah, I think there's some of that going on. I think also, though, people should realize that, you know, the huge influx of Italian immigration was right around the turn of the 20th century.
Yes.
And that the spread out of Italians all over the region is amazing. I mean, we have, for one thing, if you take a look at that map, Staten Island is very, very heavily Italian. And, you know, those people, I'm certain, since we're using ancestry here, I don't think those people are new immigrants. So the same thing is true in Westchester and Long Island. So I think that, as well as parts of the Bronx, I mean, Arthur Avenue in the Bronx, for example, there's a lot of Italian shops and stores. And I think that's one of the things that happens, is that kind of cuisine and things that people are familiar with kind of bring them back, you know, to the home country. But at the same time, there's sort of some diminution of Italian ethnicity.
Right. And in terms of heritage and ancestry, I think Staten Island is the most Italian county in America.
Yeah, I would believe that, actually.
I believe that. I've read that. All right, Giuseppe, we got to go. But if people come to your restaurant, Ornella, what's the one thing they've got to order?
But the most popular thing on my restaurant is duck meatballs. Does it sound Italian?
Duck?
Duck meatballs. It's an appetizer.
Duck meatballs.
Duck meatballs.
All right.
This is the difference from an Italian restaurant and an Italian-American restaurant. Italian-American restaurant, you have to put as an appetizer, fried calamari, a bag of clams.
Giuseppe, thanks a lot. Monica, thanks a lot. And listeners, we did this last week, and we can do it again. If you want to nominate another new little, give us a call. Here are some we've already heard about, so no need to tip us off to these. Little Brazil, also in Astoria. Little Senegal in the hybrid section of the Bronx. Little Ecuador in Corona, Queens. Little Pakistan and Uzbekistan in the Ocean Parkway area, Brooklyn. Little Colombia in Crown Heights. But if you've got another new little and want to help grow this list, call us right now. 212-433-WNYC. 212-433-9692, and we'll pop a couple of you on the air before the end of the hour, or you can post it to WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehr Show. We will integrate that into the interactive map, which, of course, you can also see there now. And while we're waiting for some of those calls to come in, let's pay a visit to Little Guyana. We were just in Little Italy, Astoria, so let's make our way to Richmond Hill in the southern part of Queens, closer to JFK Airport. We'll have to hop the Q train, transfer to the 7, transfer again at Roosevelt Avenue to the E, then hop the Q24 bus down towards Liberty Avenue. Only takes about an hour to go from Queens to Queens. Vishnu Mahadio is a resident of Richmond Hill, a Guyanese immigrant and president of the Richmond Hill Economic Development Council. Vishnu, thanks so much for coming on. How are you?
Thank you very much, Brian, for this opportunity to bring up the issues about Richmond Hill and the Indo-Caribbean community.
Take us to Little Guyana. If you walk down the street there, what will you see?
Well, if you're walking down on Liberty Avenue from the Van Wyck Express in towards Woodhaven Boulevard, you will find a series of exotic food places. You will find a variety of fresh food stores. You will find mainstream corporation business like McDonald's. You'll find banks. So it is a traditional corporate main street But what is very important about it, it has a West Indian flavor with a lot of South Asian influence.
Why Richmond Hill?
Well, Richmond Hill became the mecca for the Indo-Caribbean community because when they first migrated into the United States, most of their sponsors were living in Queens and around that area. So they flocked around that area and maintained residence in that area since the 1970s.
Andrew Beveridge, what else can you tell us about Indo-Caribbeans in New York City? We know a fair amount about the Afro-Caribbean communities, Jamaicans, Trinidadians, but not so much about this Indian-Caribbean connection.
Well, I've actually had a number of students who live in Richmond Hill and are Indo-Caribbean, and frankly, they are fantastic students, the ones that I've had. And I think one of the most interesting things I've found is that some of the Guyanan students who have come, or Guyanese who have come into Richmond Hill, actually Richmond Hill used to be is heavily Italian. I mean, the older people in Richmond Hill living in the large houses. I mean, Richmond Hill has lovely houses. They were built right around the turn of the 20th century. And the Guyanese, the students that I've had, you know, just think that the houses are wonderful, whereas I found that some of the Italian students also live in Richmond Hill. Some of the people that they talked to or interviewed were very unhappy that the Guyanese were coming in. So you can see in Richmond Hill sort of like the story of New York, where an older immigrant group is being, in effect, replaced by a newer immigrant group. And, you know, I think the Guyanese and the Indo-Caribbeans are also penetrating somewhat in the Jamaica area. And I know that the Jamaica Development Corporation didn't quite know what to do, because since that had been, you know, a predominantly black group, you know, the Jamaica and the business group community mm-hmm. in Jamaica had been predominantly black, and suddenly all these Guyanese show up, and they, you know, have worked to kind of integrate them into that economic development area. So I think it's a really interesting situation with the Guyanese, and they're really kind of a very big boost, I think, to New York City.
Vishnu, very briefly, as president of the Economic Development Council there, what's the number one pressing issue in the community?
Well, the number one pressing issue is the poor performing high schools that we have in the community, the lack of access to mass transportation for our disabled community, and at the same time, there is no city or state services that are really available to that enclave. Because in our community, we are represented by 4 city councilors, yet at the same time, money and resources doesn't come into that community. It is always, we are the stepchild of every, at the expense of every other community.
Let's hear some quick recommendations for other new littles from some callers. Ahmed, back to Astoria for you. You're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi, man. How you doing? I call Stanway's Little Egypt. Is that I call actually now is Little Egypt.
Yes, and let me leave that there. We'll come back to that. Little Egypt, also in Astoria, and we've spoken to Egyptian shop owners from that area on the show recently. Joe and Hollis, Little what?
Little Italy. I live in Hollis. But there's always been a high concentration of Italian-Americans in Middle Village, Queens, as long as I've known. I grew up in Ridgewood, Queens, and I remember there's tons of Italians. In fact, even to this day, there's probably more than 50% of the inhabitants that are Italian-American.
So another Little Italy. Aminata in Brooklyn. You're on WNYC. Hi.
Hi. How are you?
Good. Little what?
Little Senegal. Like, I live down by Washington Avenue. If you go down to Fulton and Bedford, there's a concentration of Senegalese people. And I know that because sometimes I go down to eat there for lunch, mm-hmm. and there are so many Senegalese people. I mean, there are other West African people there.
But a lot of Senegalese. Thank you very much. Gosh, we're out of time for this segment. Vishnu, tell us, in Richmond Hill, Little Guyana, what should we eat when we go to the restaurant?
Nice Jamaican jerk chicken or some goat curry and beef.
And Andrew Beveridge from Queens College will continue this series next Thursday on the New Littles. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Brian. And I think everybody should take a look at your wonderful map.
At WNYC.org, click on Brian Lehrer Show.